ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः ॐ विष्णुवदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नमने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्यदेशतरणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसुनि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 48, Verse 26. Kapanditas tvadaparam sharanam samiyad Bhakta priyadvrata gira sukhradakrita gyat Sarvanda dati sukhradobha chato bikaman Atmanam apya upa chaya pa chayo rinayasya Ka, what, pandita, scholar, twat, other than you, aparam, to another, saranam, for shelter, samiyat, would go. Bhakta, to your devotees, priyat, affectionate, rita, always true, gira, whose words, Sukhrada, well-wisher, Kritagyat, grateful, Sarvan, all, Dadati, you give, Sukhrada, to your well-wishing devotees, Bhajata, who are engaged in worshipping you, Abhikaman, desires, Atmanam, yourself, Api, even, Upachaya, increase, Apachayo, diminution, Na, never, Yasya, whose? Translation, what learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. Purport, this verse describes both the Lord and his devotees as Sukhrada, well-wishers. The Lord is the well-wisher of his devotees, and the devotee lovingly desires all happiness for the Lord. Even in this world, an excessive love may sometimes produce unnecessary solicitude. For example, we often observe that a mother's loving concern for her adult child is not always justified by an actual danger to the child. A grown child may be wealthy, competent, and healthy, and yet the mother's loving concern continues. Similarly, a pure devotee always feels loving concern for Lord Krishna, as exemplified by Mother Yasoda, who could only think of Krishna as her beautiful son. Lord Krishna had promised Akura that after killing Kamsa, he would visit his home, and now the Lord kept his promise. Akura recognizes this and glorifies the Lord as Rita Gira, one who is true to his word. The Lord is Kritagya, grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers, and even if the devotee forgets, the Lord does not. Translation: what learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. So Akura has previously expressed that Krishna is Supreme Lord. And to do that, he's philosophically explained the nature of the Supreme Lord, how he's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, in control of everything, and so forth. And so this S gives us an understanding of the power of the Lord. That's one definition of the Lord, and it's quite common. So often, if people will ask, who is God, then a person will say, okay, he's the creator. So that's a very simple definition of God. He's the creator of everything. He knows everything. So nobody will disagree with that if they believe in God. Because if he's supreme, he must have all knowledge, and he must have all power. And he's supreme. So that's a simple definition of God. And of course, in most religions, that's very, very prominent. Power of God. And because of his power, he must be feared. Huh? Since he's all-powerful, he can do anything he wants, and then we are just subject to his will. So we may fear him. So in Judaic and Christianity and Islam, fear is an important factor in reverence and thinking of God as very powerful and great. But there's another aspect of God. If God is all everything and he's most perfect, he should also have all wonderful qualities, not just power. He must have qualities like truthfulness, as explained in this verse. He must be grateful. If someone does something for the Lord should be very grateful. He should not be indifferent. So if we have qualities, the Lord is all-powerful and indifferent and not kind, and he tells lies, then that would not be a very attractive God. So he should be all truthful, all kind, grateful, etc., affectionate towards his devotee. So these are also qualities that must be there in a Supreme Lord. We can say this is the sweetness aspect of God, or affectionate aspect of God. So, of course, in religion that's also there, but in most religions it's the prominence is given to the power aspect. So in the Vedic literature, of course, both aspects are there, and first of all, Akura has emphasized the power aspect, but not so much fear. He doesn't talk about fear and things like that. So now he's explaining the Lord in terms of his affection for his devotees and his wonderful qualities. So this is another aspect of Supreme Lord. So besides his power, he should have other wonderful qualities. So here Akura is asking the question, what learned person would to surrender to anybody else? Why would a learned person go to someone else if you are all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, and you have qualities, as he mentions in this verse? Because what does surrender mean? We go to a person for surrender, Because we trust the person. A person may be very powerful, but if we understand he's cruel and whatever, we're not going to surrender to him. But if we go and surrender, then we have a trust that he will protect properly and be kind to the person. So surrender automatically implies some sort of good qualities as well. Mm-hmm. So not only powerful aspect of God is there, but his good qualities. So what a learned person would not surrender to anybody else except the Supreme Lord? Now, of course, in this material world, people will surrender to other people for various reasons. And they get some partial results. If they're intelligent, they surrender to a person who can do something for them and protect them. And they get some results. But it's never perfect. They never get perfect results. Because no one in this world is perfect. Nobody has all good qualities. A very common theme in the material world is in love affairs. One person loves another person, etc. But they get disappointed because the other person does not respond properly. And then they may commit suicide or whatever like this. So many tragedies are there like this, love stories. So there's always disappointment because the other person doesn't respond properly. That is, means there's lack of perfection. But in the Supreme Lord, there's always proper response. So these qualities are mentioned here in the second line. Who would go anywhere else, since the Lord is very affectionate towards his devotees, Bhakta Priya, because he's affectionate to the devotees. Of course, the Lord is affectionate to everyone, but especially to the devotees. So he shows special attraction to them. So that's also natural. He should, if one, according as one surrenders to the Lord responds. So that's proper. And if we surrender a little, the Lord responds a little. We do not expect the opposite. You surrender a lot and the Lord is indifferent, and you don't surrender and the Lord is very affectionate. It doesn't make sense. It's also only reasonable that the more you surrender, the greater response the Lord gives. So that's reasonable. We can't criticize the Lord for that, even though it looks like he's not equal to everyone. So if he's equal to everyone, absolutely, and he shows no affection for one who responds to him or acts for him more and more with devotion, then that means he's indifferent. And so he has equal affection for everyone in the sense that he doesn't hate anybody. But the more that one surrenders to the Lord, the more he responds to the devotee. So therefore, it says he is affectionate towards the devotees. So it's a special affection for the devotees. He doesn't hate anyone. Ritagira, his words are truthful. If he makes a promise, he keeps the promise. Whatever he says in relation to the devotees, it comes true. So he never tells a lie in reference to the devotees. He makes a promise, he keeps the promise. So this is very important. If the Supreme Lord would say one thing and do another thing, that would be very disappointing for everyone. So he's very famous, and therefore one of the names of the Supreme Lord is Satya, truth. He is truth itself. That's it's in the first chapter of the 10th canto there. The Lord, he's described as Satya, and many, many words of Satya in it, just to show that his words come true, and he always speaks the truth. And of course, on a larger scale, we can say that Scripture is non-different from the Lord, and Scripture is truthful. It tells the truth. It does not tell imaginary, untrue things. So, therefore, this is also a very good quality of the Lord. In reference to Akura, of course, as explained in the purport, the Lord promised to come to his house after he had handled his affairs in Mathura and killed Kamsa, etc. He promised, and now he is true to his word, and he goes to Akura's house and visits him. So Akura is saying, yes, you tell the truth. That's a good quality. And he's affectionate towards his devotee. So the Lord is coming not simply because he has to tell the truth and then do according to that, but he has affection for Akura. Akura is a member of the Yadus, and of course there are directly blood relatives of Krishna, so therefore there's a close relationship. And Akura, as we see previously, he was a devotee of Krishna. So when he was approaching Vrindavan to take Krishna to Mathura, then when he saw the footprints of Krishna and Balaram in the sand, he immediately got off his chariot and he began offering his respects and offering prayers, etc. So he was very devotional. And then he was hoping somehow that Krishna would be kind to him. So he was a great devotee. And therefore, the Lord had great affection for him. So both of these things are quite true. And Suhrada, of course that means a friend, but there's other words for friendship like Mitra is a friend also. There's many other words, Bandhu, etc. Now we have many words for friendship. So Suhrada usually means that he is a, as I explained in the purport, well-wisher, which means that he acts for the benefit of the other person. So he is called Suhrada. Even if there's no reason to, he will do something for the other person which is beneficial for him, not, you know, unbeneficial or whatever. He always acts in a beneficial way to help the other person. So that's called Suhrada. So that is natural in the Supreme Lord. He will always do things which are beneficial for the individual. Of course, the Lord never does anything which is unbeneficial for anybody, even if they're not devotees. That's the definition of God, because he's not cruel. He has no bad qualities. So he's never, even for the demons, he may kill the demons, but he gives benefit to them. They get high birth, they get liberation, they may go to Vaikuntha, etc. So the Lord always acts in a very wonderful way, beneficial to the person. But also, he will act according to that particular person. It's not a general benefit. We give everyone this liberation, or we give everyone Vaikuntha, etc. It's also particular. So according to the circumstance, the Lord may benefit an individual. He may not give them liberation or whatever. He may put them somewhere else in the material world. It's for the benefit also. So according to the particular case, the Lord will act. Sometimes we do not understand how the Lord is acting beneficially. And for that reason, some people lose faith. Why is the Lord so cruel? Why does he neglect us? Why we offer prayers and we do this and that and the Lord doesn't do anything for us? I'm still suffering after so many years. So then we'll say, he's not acting for our benefit. He's not, the last one, kritagya. He's not grateful. I offer prayers and he doesn't do anything for me. So people that don't have faith will sometimes accuse the Lord of not being acting for the benefit, not being grateful. But one who has strong faith will always accept the arrangements that are and the circumstances he has. And somehow or other he will accept that as for his benefit. So, of course, we see that if people want material things, then the Lord usually gives material things to them. You go and pray, but then you get things. It's not the highest prayer, but the Lord does that. But then, if that wealth is unbeneficial for you, the Lord may not give it to you. In fact, he may take away your wealth also, if it's beneficial for you. So you have no attachment to material wealth. You may take everything away. So benefit means different things in different circumstances. For people who have no faith, yeah, get material things, that's a benefit. But for people who are more advanced, benefit is don't have material attachments. So the Lord will make arrangements so you get less and less material attachments and more attachment to the Lord. So the benefit will be different in different cases. So, in any case, the Lord's long-term plan for everyone is to elevate the consciousness of the individual through the modes from ignorance, passion, goodness, and then to devotion of the Lord. And of course, we have all sorts of methods for doing that. We have Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Stanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, different methods. But the goal finally is to get the jivas, individuals, out of the material world and into the spiritual world, where there's no more birth, death, old age, disease, and they get highest bliss. So the ultimate goal of Supreme Lord is to give the highest bliss to the individual. On the lowest level, he'll give them material bliss, which is temporary. When they get a little more faith, then he will give them liberation, no more material suffering. And then highest bliss is service in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. So in other words, the benefit that the Lord gives is he's making the individual happy. That's all. That's his benefit he wants to give him. But it's maybe indirect in many cases. So that is Suhrida. And it's explained here that the devotee is addressed here as Suhrida also. The devotees, they are acting for benefit of the Lord. That means that's the definition of bhakti. Anya abhilashata shunya. They just have no other desire than to try to please the Lord. No desire for getting material acquisition. No desire for liberation. No desire for yogic powers or anything. Simply try to please the Lord. That is bhakti. So the devotee is acting for the benefit of the Lord. Of course, the Lord doesn't need anything because he's got everything. But the intention of the devotee is to always try to please the Lord. So that's how he is Suhrida, or friendly to the Lord, well-wisher of the Lord. No material benefits for himself, everything for the Supreme Lord. And Kritagya means grateful. One does something for another person, and then the other person acknowledges that. And they respond, and they satisfy the person. So that is a grateful person. So Krishna does that. Whatever we do for him, he responds appropriately. In fact, he gives much more than we give to him. So that is always the case. Except that we may not understand the response of the Lord at all. We don't understand what he's doing at a certain time. But he's always very grateful for the service, and therefore, according to the amount of service you do, the more grateful he is. As we surrender to the Lord surrenders to us, and he gives more and more and more. So he's ever grateful. So grateful that he gives everything to the devotee. How can he express thanks to a devotee? Of course, he doesn't have to express anything because he owns everything, and the devotees are small particles in relation to God. But he feels great gratitude, so he has to pay back somehow or other appropriately. How can he do that? So yes, he can give things. Ultimately, he gives himself. God gives himself to the devotee. So it's described that bhakti, the nature of bhakti, is that it controls the Lord. The Lord comes under control of the devotee because of that bhakti. So the Lord becomes a servant of the devotee. So that's how grateful he is. And we have so many examples of that. We have Krishna acting as the charioteer of Arjuna, which is like a inferior sudra job, and he, at least he should be kshatriya warrior, but he acts as a sudra, a driver of a chariot for Arjuna, who's acting as kshatriya. Arjuna is, of course, a devotee of Krishna, but Krishna acts as his servant. And of course, many other cases, he acts as the guard for the Pandavas. At nighttime, he's out there guarding their camp, whatever, doing the night watch at nighttime. He's guarding their camp like a regular soldier or whatever like that. So in this way, he serves the Pandavas and Arjuna. And of course, in Vrindavan, also he serves the devotees at all times. So we have when Krishna is a small child and he's just walking, he begins to walk. Then he picks up Nanda Maharaj's slippers, shoes, and he puts them on his head and he begins to try to take them to Nanda Maharaj to offer them to him. Of course, he's struggling because he's so small. But he's doing service for his father. And we see, of course, in Vrindavan, Krishna is always serving mother and father, etc., in many ways. Of course, herding the cows and calves. That's a service for his parents. And of course, and when he gets older, and then he has his friends, Sakas, cowherd boy friends. So some of the friends serve Krishna. Krishna also serves the friends. in this way, we have equality there, and even superiority. Others are superior, and he's inferior. So in various relationships, Krishna acts as if he is controlled by others. He's controlled by his devotees. Of course, an extreme example is in the Damodar pastime, Krishna gets tied up by Mother Yasoda. Of course, he's God, so nobody can tie up God. But he agrees to be tied up. Why? Because of affection for his mother. So he allows Mother Yasoda to punish him. He becomes less powerful, and Mother Yasoda becomes more powerful. So this is the way in which Krishna falls under control of his devotee, and that's an expression of his gratitude to the devotee. According to the amount of love of the devotee, the Lord equally shows love in different ways. Mother Yasoda expects him to act as a child, so he acts as a child, because he is a child for her. Therefore, all of these statements of occur are very true. And because of this, who could refuse to surrender to this person who has all these wonderful qualities? Then he says here that the devotees worship the Lord, and then the Lord fulfills all of their desires. Abhikaman, all desires to those suhridas, those devotees who worship him. The Lord responds, so that is also a symptom of his gratitude. He gives everything to them, even himself. Yet, the Lord is in no way depleted. He's always got more to give. More and more and more to give. And of course, there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of devotees. And he gives to every one of them. And still, he's not exhausted. In the material world, not so. A person gets exhausted with a relationship with one person. What to speak of many persons? They cannot offer their affection to everybody. What to speak of one person? But Krishna can satisfy everyone and fulfill all their desires fully. Of course, the devotees don't desire anything material. What they want is simply that the Lord is happy. They want to do something to please the Lord. And what happens? The Lord is very pleased. And then the devotee becomes very pleased. So that is satisfies their desire when the Lord is most pleased. So the Lord satisfies each one. So it may look impossible to do how one person can have such perfect relationships with billions and billions and billions of devotees in the spiritual world, but very possible because he's Supreme Lord. Yeah? So he takes a form for each individual. Yeah? Just as with the cowherd boys, when Krishna's in the field and they all bring out their lunches and they're together eating their lunches in the field, there's millions of cowherd boys there and there's one Krishna. So what we expect that only about six people will be able to see Krishna in that big crowd. But Krishna expands himself and he's with every individual so that each individual is eating with Krishna. And they have an individual relationship with him and they joke together. So not possible for us, but it's very easy for the Supreme Lord. He's with every individual, and therefore he can supply all their desires, fully satisfy them completely in the relationship. Huh? And he never decreases, never exhausted. No effort is required for him to do anything, to expand himself into millions of forms, to create material worlds or whatever. That's a material conception. For the Supreme Lord, no tiredness, no fatigue or anything. Everything is done automatically by his will and his shaktis. Huh? So, in that sense, he is unchanging. And in this way, he can satisfy everyone continually, not just one time, but it goes on eternally in the spiritual world. So this is a very accurate description of Supreme Lord in his relationship with the devotees. So this is actually more relishable for the devotees than the power aspect of the Supreme Lord. That one actually has a relationship with the Lord and there's a response from the Lord to the devotees' activities.
Okay. If you see in modern times, most people don't have much faith. Only devotees of faith, they can understand Lord can do anything and they'll accept it.
Yeah.
And question may be arise that why Lord does certain activities which makes people talk like this, ill of the Lord?
Well, obviously, people are in ignorance in the material world. Majority of people are in ignorance and they don't have faith. So simultaneously, it's very difficult to do one act which will satisfy everybody. Some will understand, some won't. So we find even the Bhagavatam is written for the people of Kali Yuga, but some people accept it, some people don't. So therefore the Lord makes arrangements for the people that don't accept it. Let them get attracted to other aspects and get a different meaning from Bhagavatam. Let them understand it as jnana or yoga or karma. Automatically Vyasadev and Sukadev and the Supreme Lord understand that not everybody's going to accept the highest thing. And therefore we also have different processes, karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga, for people of different qualifications.
You see, Jambavan did not had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord as to Lord Ramchandra, but when it comes to Krishna, he was actually fighting for a jewel. So one who has taken shelter is fighting with the Lord again. I mean, what to understand?
Why was he fighting with the Lord?
Yeah.
This is part of the pastime. Then he realized that this person must be someone extraordinary because he couldn't defeat him. And then he thought of Ramchandra, and then he saw Krishna there. So then he ultimately became a devotee of Krishna as a result of that. Of course, this is related to the pastime of his daughter, Jambavati, and then she became a queen, etc. So this is only part of Leela, pastime Leela.
Again, with regard to the quality of being well-wisher as well as one who gives the promise, but I remember this, in case of Kunti, Krishna had given a promise, there will never be the Pandavas will remain ever. And then when Narayanastra was shot at by Karna, Bhima did not bow down actually.
What is that?
Bhima did not bow down to the Narayanastra. Narayanastra.
Yeah.
And then Krishna goes to the extent of jumping on Bhima to make sure that he bows down so that the Narayanasra does not affect him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of promise on being a well-wisher of a devotee. Okay, he does, yeah, go to the action.
Yeah,
in the beginning of the class you are explaining regarding this, and Krishna doesn't hate anybody. Okay, so we see sometimes Krishna kill the demon like a Shishupal. If you take when Shishupal was criticizing Krishna,
mm-hmm,
and we see unless someone hates someone, this anger would not come. So but Krishna killed Shishupal ultimately, but unless one get anger or hate someone, mm-hmm, this anger will not produce or create, you know.
Yeah, well, you're saying so. He killed him because he was angry. Krishna was angry.
Yeah, he became angry. Yeah. We see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anger in the Supreme Lord is not like our anger, which is based on hatred, etc. And our, you know, so our anger and hatred is different from Krishna's anger. As I explained previously, the anger of Krishna is part of his rasa, a secondary rasa, this krodha rasa in the spiritual world, which is based upon primary rasa. So it only supports primary rasa. Material world, krodha is completely independent of love. It means operate by itself, completely differently. So Krishna may show anger or whatever, but it's all based upon loving relationships. So of course, the devotees may also show anger in relation to, like with Sahadeva and others, when Shishupal began to insult Krishna in the assembly, then they all became very angry and they stood up with their swords and whatever. Again, that anger is directed towards the demon in support of the primary rasa for Krishna. So therefore the anger rasa of the devotees and Krishna is quite different from that of the rasa in the material world. Now ultimately Krishna has compassion for all living entities, even Shishupala. And therefore, the anger and consequently the killing of him, the killing of course was there to fulfill prediction, etc. But we see the result was that it wasn't anger at all because he got promotion. It was for his benefit. And when he got killed, he didn't go to hell, he went to Vaikuntha. So it was beneficial for him. So the, how could the Lord be angry? If he was angry like a materialist, he would make him go to hell. But he didn't make him go to hell. He went up to Vaikuntha. Yeah? So the anger is not like our anger. It's just like Narasimhadeva. He's killing Hiranyakasipu when he's angry. So that anger is related to his devotee, his affection for his devotee, Prahlad. It's not actually simply hatred of Hiranyakasipu as such. And when he sees his devotee, then he's filled with love again and he gives up his anger. And again, what happens when he kills Hiranyakasipu? He doesn't go to hell. He becomes Ravana later on and he gets to enjoy very nicely as a king. So it's not real hatred at all. He gives him promotion. He gets benefit.
And the question was, and the second line is explained regarding this word, kritajna. Normally it's grateful. But in the material we see that, you know, is even devotees also, you know, have their expectation is different from what they're getting from others. So how to balance this, you know, this kritajna, grateful?
Because the material world never be. Because our expectations are always greater than what comes out from the other person. We're in illusion, so we have very high expectations and person cannot meet them. Therefore, relationships fail. Many, many relationships fail because of that. If they don't fail, it's because we're very tolerant. But otherwise, we get disappointments, definitely.
That means knowingly they're tolerating everything.
Yeah?
Knowingly they're tolerating everything.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the only way that these relationships survive. We tolerate the insufficiencies of the other people.
Yeah. During preaching, I met a person. He said, in this material world, anything goes wrong, there's a complex judicial system. The FIR police is there and judges are arguing. Then the punishment is given. Whereas in the Lord's thing, the Lord comes and directly kills a person. Is there any judicial system in the Lord's activity.
Oh, okay.
That
yeah. In the material world, we're imperfect, so we have to separate everything. We have the judge as one separate entity from the police and separate from the government, etc. Otherwise, they start interfering, then there's a problem with justice getting carried out. Of course, Krishna also has the justice system with Yamaraj and whatever like this. And under that, then we have the Manus and the Manvantara, things like this, and all the Dharma system and the kings, whatever. But ultimately, Krishna himself can do all of these things perfectly. So there's no need to separate anything and have different processes. Since he is all knowledgeable, then he knows the truth. He doesn't have to gather evidence from here and there and whatever and investigate and whatever. He knows automatically everything about everything. He knows the truth. And he can also see what is most beneficial for the individual in that circumstance. So therefore he can make the proper judgment because of his omniscience or his knowledge of everything and his intelligence. So one of the qualities of the Lord is that the intelligence which acts in such a way that many things are fulfilled by one decision he makes. He does one thing and it fulfills many purposes at once. Yeah? So that's the nature of the Supreme Lord. So when he acts and punishes, so-called punishes a particular demon or whatever, it has many repercussions which are all beneficial for different persons.
When he does an activity, everyone gets satisfied. But there's always some people don't accept the Lord's thing. Non-devotees don't accept it.
Yeah, obviously not everybody accepts. If they don't have faith, they won't accept. That's a separate category of persons. But for those who do, that are devotees, they will all accept.
Hmm? Maharaj, I want to understand unconditional love. Here, so many qualities of the Lord are described. So do we love Him for those qualities? What is unconditional love?
Oh, unconditional love simply means no motive, selfish motive. We don't put conditions. I will serve the Lord because I want to get this or get that. That's what, so it is this anya abhilashita shunya. That's what the unconditioned. So when we have conditional love, it means I will do something for you, but I expect to get this or that or whatever like that. For ourselves. So if we offer to the Lord in a very pure way, so to speak, but we're expecting that I'll do this, but you have to be pleased, then again that would be conditional love. So the devotee simply does it hoping the Lord would be pleased, but whatever happens, then he leaves it at that. That's unconditional love. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So this is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains four types of people. Some want to get rid of misery. Some want artha. They want material things. So getting happiness for themselves is one of those things. So that's bhakti, but it's impure bhakti. It's mixed bhakti. So it's not unconditional love. It's conditional love. Well, the Lord accepts it, but it's a lesser category. Yeah, the faith is not complete. Yeah.